Hello and welcome to this, the 14th episode of the Nintendo Life podcast. Yes, it has only been 2 weeks since our last episode, but we thought we would spoil you rotten this month with some extra audio goodness. As always, I'm going to be your host, James Newton, better known as Prosty on the boards and in the chat room, or Daddy Newts if you want to follow me on Twitter. You'll have just recovered from the end of our DS 5-year birthday celebrations, where we brought you some of the reviews that we didn't have time for over the console's lifespan, including the much maligned Super Mario 64 DS, the even worse Wario Master of Disguise, and a few extra tidbits as well. We thought that wasn't enough celebratory fun for you Nintendo Life readers though, and as it is March 2010, we realised that you could abbreviate that to M-A-R-1-O, Mario. So today is the start of Mario Month. Coming up until the end of March, we will be bringing you some exclusive Mario content, including reviews of some of his lesser-known titles, highlights and lowlights of his career, as well as some extra goodies as well. Coming fresh off the heels of the DS 5th birthday celebrations, we had some awesome games to review this month, both new and old. John took a look at Wario Master of Disguise, which, let's face it, is not exactly the yellow one's finest moment. With some dodgy touchscreen controls, some poor level design, and just the fact it isn't that interesting, this scored a lowly 3 out of 10. Hopefully one day Wario is going to have a much better DS adventure, but sadly for you guys, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. That said, with WarioWare DIY coming out later this year, it might not be too long until the big-nosed one will be back to his former glory. Now, in the last show, I did promise a review of Lost in Blue for DS, which is Konami's classic island survival adventure title. However, just after I promised that review, I actually went out and bought Lost in Blue 2. I've not been able to spend as much time with it as I would like, so there will be no in-depth review. But anyone who liked the original Lost in Blue will be very pleased to see that the sequel is just as high quality. Starting off with an almost identical premise, you wash up on a deserted island with just a girl for company, so, you know, it's not all bad. And essentially you have to stave off starvation and explore the island in order to survive. The first few hours that you spend with it are genuinely grueling and some of the hardest and sometimes frustrating gameplay that you will ever experience. Go out in the field, you might find a coconut. Fantastic. It only restores 5% of your hunger. Now, considering that you start, I believe, on 50 or 25%, it's going to take you days to be able to actually get up to a decent level of fullness in your tummy. But once you've managed to explore far enough to get a stick and a stone, you can make a spear, then you can catch the fish, you can cook the fish, and you can start to eat properly. Again, or so you would think, the first fish you catch restore 5% of your hunger, which again is quite ridiculous. As I said, I haven't played it for a very long time, but the aspects of the game that I like in the first one are still present in the second one. So if you were a fan of the original island adventure, obviously following on from Game Boy's Survival Kids, then you should pick it up because it's very good. And also, if you live in the UK and you have a game station near you, you may be interested to find that it is only £4.99, which is a bargain at any rate. There were other DS games that I promised I would review and actually did, the most controversial of the lot by far being Super Mario 64 DS. Now, opinions on this game are split pretty much down the board. In its original N64 incarnation, pretty much everyone agrees it's an absolutely superb platformer, including myself. It was innovative, and the fact that it introduced analog controls to the world at large is something that really cannot be underestimated, even nearly 15 years on. Now, the DS game does pack in a lot of extra content. You've got extra stars, mini-games, and new playable characters for the first time in Super Mario 64. However, the attempt at analog touchscreen controls simply does not work. We've had a lot of comments on this review claiming that the D-pad controls work fine. Well, yes they do, but having to play Mario 64 with a D-pad is a lot like trying to play Beethoven's Fifth Symphony on a child's tambourine. Yes, you may be able to eke out some small measure of pleasure, but you simply need to play with analog controls to get the most out of it. The fluidity and the sense of being at play, which is so evident in Mario 64 and many of the other 3D Marios, simply does not exist when you're tapping away at the D-pad and mashing with a combination of buttons in order to run and jump and so on. Yes, the game looks fantastic, and some of the minigames are still, 5 years on, some of the best for the console. But you cannot play Mario 64 adequately enough, in this reviewer's opinion, by using digital inputs. It simply is not good enough, I'm afraid. It would be rather like Mario Kart being transferred to DS with broken touchscreen wheel. That said, we still did give the game a 7 out of 10, which, as I will read from our scoring policy, is as follows. A 7 is not average in our eyes. The game will sport a few areas where the game is blatantly let down to the detriment of its overall quality and enjoyment, but it is not average. A 7 is still a recommendation, but you might want to consider what we thought let the game down and decide for yourself if it would bother you before buying. It wasn't just old school DS that we got stuck into though, no. Drake reviewed Ace Attorney Investigations Miles Edgeworth, that is a mouthful, and gave it a very well deserved 8 out of 10. Although, as with the previous Phoenix Wright games, it does still have a few quirks, shall we say, that could be improved upon. It is still a fantastically written game, with some clever jokes and some genuinely interesting stories, and if you are in the market for an adventure title, you will find very few better than Ace Attorney Investigations. I got stuck into the Wii and DS versions of Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, and of the two, it must be said that the DS version just has it by a nose. Considering how much content is available in the Wii version, it is quite an achievement that Sumo Digital managed to cram it all into the DS version. There is all the characters and music, and there's still 24 courses to choose from, although some of them are slightly different to the Wii versions, but in the most part, they are just as good, if not better, than their Wii counterparts. The online mode is certainly seems to be quicker than the Wii version when it comes to finding a match. There's very little lag, and it does benefit over the Wii version by having an on-screen map, which can sometimes be a bit of a godsend, particularly when you're trying to navigate some of the Super Monkey Ball courses. It handles very well, there is plenty to unlock, and with a decent single-player mode as well, this is one game that should be locked in your DS for a very long time. That is, of course, if you haven't already got the absolutely superb Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. Essentially a combination of puzzle and strategy RPG games, this is quite unlike anything else on the DS at the moment. And if you thought that Puzzle Quest offered a deep and enjoyable puzzle RPG experience, let's face it, you haven't seen anything quite like Clash of Heroes. Essentially a mixture between Meteos and something more like Advance Wars, this takes the Match 3 concept to a completely new level. All you have to do is match 3 of the same colour units in horizontal lines to form a defensive wall, or a vertical line to create an attack. It sounds very simple, but there's enough depth in there to keep even the most tactical minds occupied for a very long time. With 5 different campaigns and a single cart multiplayer mode as well, there is lots and lots to enjoy, and you really do owe it to yourself to pick this up. It is one of the finest titles released for the DS, not just this year, but in its 5-year lifespan. If you are at all interested in wolves and hobbits and trees and elves and all that good stuff, or you just want a really good puzzle game, there is very, very little better than Might and Magic DS at the moment.
Hi, this is Steve Levy from the King of Kong, and you're listening to the Nintendo Life Podcast.
Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, this month is Mario Month over at Nintendo Life, as we celebrate March 2010, or abbreviated cleverly, MAR10. Who better to talk to about Mario than our very own Corby Dillard, a man who knows more about the Italian plumber's exploits than most men do about their mothers. Corby, thank you very much for joining us. Let's just kick off with the first question. What would you say is Mario's most defining quality?
Probably his ability to evolve over the years with the changing technology. Nintendo have always been able to somehow inject new life into the series with each new release. Even being able to take the game into 3D when many other companies weren't able to do so with much success. I think it's a real testament, personally, to the developers and their ability to keep the series and the spin-offs so fresh and engaging, even over such a long period of time.
Mario's been in plenty of non-platforming titles, as well as traditional outings, but which one is your favourite?
I'd probably have to go with the Mario and Luigi series. Even as big a fan as I am of Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo console, I think Alpha Dream was able to perfectly capture a lot of the magic from that original Super Nintendo release and bring it over to the Mario and Luigi series and still be able to add a lot of unique and innovative and fresh ideas to the mix, maybe even more so than any of the other Mario RPG spin-offs over the years.
Can you think of any times maybe when his games or Mario himself has disappointed you in any way?
As far as the regular Super Mario series goes, about the only disappointment I can think of is Super Mario Sunshine. And it's not because it's a bad game, it's more because it wasn't what I was expecting it to be. I think after the popularity and the success of Super Mario 64 on the Nintendo 64 console, a lot of gamers, including myself, were expecting something more along the lines of that. And then when it didn't happen, it was somewhat of a disappointment. The game brought a lot of innovative ideas to the table, but to me it just didn't feel much like a Super Mario release. And at times almost felt like a game that had been developed and then after the fact had Super Mario characters inserted into it. I also say that because it's one of the few Super Mario releases that I seldom go back to over the years with any regularity.
And finally, settle this long-standing argument. It's a real bone of contention here at Nintendo Life, of course. Which is better, Super Mario Bros. 3 or Super Mario World? You have the casting vote.
To be honest with you, over the years, I've flip-flopped on this more times than I can count. It usually depends on which game I've played most recently, but if it comes down to the game that I've probably played the most over the years, it would have to go with Super Mario World. I still think Super Mario World had a little bit more playability and had a better difficulty curve than Super Mario Bros. 3. To me, Super Mario Bros. 3 was fairly easy until you hit World 8, and then it was like hitting a brick wall for some. Super Mario World, to me, was a much more gradual climb in difficulty. And it just, with the secret exits and everything, it just felt like it had a little bit more to offer and a little bit more reason to go back to it. So ultimately, that would be the reason I think Super Mario World is still slightly better than Super Mario 3.
Corby, as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the show. Although I'm not sure that I agree with all of your opinions, particularly that last one.
Hi, I'm Charles Martinet, and you're listening to Nintendo Live. Woohoo! Mario's favorite! Wahoo!
There will be plenty of other Nintendo Life writers contributing to Mario Month as well. Coming up over the next weeks, we have reviews of Dance Dance Revolution Mario Mix, Super Mario Advance, and the often forgotten and sadly overlooked Super Mario Sunshine, as well as rundowns of some of Mario's finest moments, as well as some of his worst as well, and finishing with a massive Nintendo Life staff roundtable as we all shoot the breeze about the Italian plumber's exploits. Stay tuned to Nintendo Life for all the upcoming Mario content that is fit to print. Now, we're just about running out of time on this podcast, but I can finish with one exclusive little tidbit. Coming up on Wednesday, March the 17th, I will be appearing on the Moonhawk Studios Presents podcast, which you can find at msp.starshipmoonhawk.com. The link is in the news post that accompanies this podcast. I'll be talking to Adam Dayton and Michael C. Prokop about Nintendo Life, as well as the wider world of Nintendo gaming. As the podcast is going out live and is hosted on TalkShoe, you will be able to call in and get your answers from me, James Newton. Yes, it's very exciting. The programme starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 7 p.m. if you're at Pacific Standard Time, which for me in the UK is actually going to be 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you ring up and ask me a stupid question, then I will probably shout at you, or perhaps just yawn. If you want to get involved, you can do. It's very easy. You will find all the information you need in the news post that accompanies this podcast over at nintendolife.com. Please do ring up and ask me any questions you would like, either about the site or about my lovely British accent, and I will do my very best to answer them in an entertaining fashion. Don't forget as well, you can still enter our exclusive Flipper DSiWare giveaway. All you need to do is download the Flipper paper fold from nintendolife.com/competitions, print it out, fold it and take an amazing photo of it. Send it over to contest@flippergame.com and you could win an exclusive limited edition boxed copy of Flipper for DSiWare with 2,000 Nintendo points to spend as well. Head over to nintendolife.com/competitions. If you want to get involved in the next episode of the Nintendo Life podcast, it's extremely easy to do so. Head over to nintendolife.com and click on the contact tab at the top. enter your message and select podcast, and it will beam its way magically into my podcast inbox. Or you can send us a tweet at the username Nintendo Life, or if you want to get involved on Skype, call us again at the username Nintendo Life. Well, the next podcast would normally be going up on Monday the 4th of April. However, I'm spending the Easter weekend in Poland visiting a very nice developer, so the next podcast is going to be slightly delayed. When we have more information about its availability, it will be up over at nintendolife.com. So until next time, enjoy the rest of Mario Month, and as always, happy gaming!